Good morning, and welcome to First Baptist Church on this first Sunday of autumn. It's so good to be together, and we are glad that you're here. We invite all of you this morning to take a moment to fill out the connection card that you will find in your bulletin. We want to connect with you. We want to help you connect with the important and exciting ministries of this church. And you can fill out the front side now or anytime, and the back side now or anytime, and you can drop these in the offering plate later this morning. I invite you to take a look at the announcements in your bulletin insert. Lots of great stuff going on right now. I do want to especially call your attention to the new second hour church school class for all adults. That's from 11:30 to 12:30. Downstairs in the Memorial Lounge. We kicked this off last week and will continue for the fall. And this morning's session, Linda Turner will be sharing, and you don't want to miss it. So I hope that you will make the effort to stick around and be down there in the Memorial Lounge for the class. Also, coming up very, very quickly, sooner than it usually does, is the Crop Walk, which is an annual event that our church participates in to raise awareness about hunger issues locally and globally, as well as to raise funds for hunger relief. We have a number of our youth who will be walking and some of their families who will be walking next Sunday afternoon. There may be others of you who would like to walk, and you are invited to do so. If you are not walking but would like to support those who are, we do invite your support, especially financial. And there will be a table downstairs staffed by a couple of our youth between worship and second hour classes right outside the fellowship hall. And they will be happy to take cash, checks, firstborn children, whatever you would like to give. Actually, don't give any of them your children. but we really like to have your support for this important service event especially our kids are involved in. You can read other announcements related to congregational life at your leisure. One announcement that's not in there is that today is the birthday of someone very special in the life of our congregation, and that is Zan Morgan, our Director of Children's Ministries. We love you. We're so glad you're in the world and in our church and in our lives, and happy birthday. Now, the God of birth and new birth, rebirth, new life is among us, lively, joyful, waiting for us too to be lively and joyful and present. So let us worship. Thank you.
Please stand if you are able for the invocation. Let us join our hearts in prayer. Jesus says to all of us who are poor in spirit, to those who are tired or lonely, come to me. Jesus says to all of us who are carrying heavy burdens, to those of us who are cast out, to all of us who are children, come to me. O God, today we come into your divine presence. We come to you in all our humanness. May this act of worship open the floodgates for your spirit to live within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Does not walk in the way of the wicked, or stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers.
But he delights in the law of the Lord, and meditates day and night on God's instruction.
This one is like a tree planted by streams of water, which bears fruit in its season. Its leaves do not wither, and in all it does it thrives. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Thank you.
We listen now to a reading from the New Testament letter of James. Who is wise and understanding among you? Then show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasure. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God. God will draw near to you. The word of the Lord.
Will you pray with me? To you, O Lord, we do lift our souls. We lift our praise and our gratitude, our hopes and our prayers, our need for healing, our need for you. As the green leaves turn to gold and red and brown, as the blue skies turn to gray, we turn to you, hoping for our own transformations, yearning for your life to take hold in our lives. Show yourself, O Lord. Reveal yourself to those who suffer Show yourself to refugees and prisoners, to the powerful and the powerless, to the liars and the truth tellers. Show yourself to us. And show yourself through us, too. Show your love, your grace, your goodness, your truth through our lives. Help us lift our voices for justice. Help us live our lives with compassion and kindness. Gather our prayers into your love. Answer our prayers through your wisdom and grace, and use us to be an answer to the prayers other people pray. We pray this morning especially for the victims of Hurricane Florence and for all who are grappling there with the aftermath. We pray also for Lynn and Joan Blunt, for Wilma Duke, Doris George, Bill McKeachy, Jim Suits, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, for Marissa Alanese, for Dick Kirschbaum, Peter Mortensen, Saw Nay Lin, Liz and Micah Dalton, for Robert, for Betty, for Dave Nelson, Matthew Sutton, for Lena, John, Jeff, for Grace Argo, Elena Flores, Sharon Cox, for Gloria, Eric, Jennifer, and Mike, for Jim Terrace, the Johnsons, the Mitchum family, for Ethan and Liz, for the Jones family, for John Wallace, for Rebecca Levinson. We also trust our most private prayers to you as we come to you now in silence. God of beauty and goodness, make us reflections of your joy and your love, that others might also see you and your grace. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who was the most perfect reflection of you, and who taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand if you are able for the reading of the gospel. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus is passing through his home territory in Galilee, trying to escape notice as he continues teaching the disciples, who continue to misunderstand him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now we invite the rest of the children also to come forward for time is
Miss Gretchen just shared with us is Jesus and his disciples on a road trip, and they're fighting. Have you ever fought on a road trip? About who gets what snack when? About which movie we're going to watch? Yeah, they're on a road trip, and they're having some conversation, and they're getting a little frustrated with each other, and they're trying to figure out what's going to happen next. And Jesus stops the van. He stops the van. He says, wait a second. What is happening? What are you fighting about? And you know how he stops the van? They're not in a van. But he says, hey, I need a kid to come sit on my lap. Anna, would you come sit on my lap? I love that this is what Jesus does. This is like Jesus stopping the van. Hey, come sit. The disciples have been fighting. They've been fighting about who's the greatest. Who's the smartest? Who's the wisest? Who's going to be the most faithful? They're trying to figure things out. And Jesus says, wait, stop. It's opposite day. It's opposite day. And the way that Jesus shows it's opposite day is by inviting a child into the story. As everybody's trying to figure out who's the best, Jesus says, hey, wait, stop. Opposite day. Come here, kid. You come sit on my lap. And Jesus says, you know what? It's not about who's tallest. It's about who's still growing. It's not about who's smartest. It's about who's still learning. It's not about who's fastest. It's about who still needs more time. It's not about who's most powerful. It's about those who need to be lifted up. So when they're asking who is the greatest, Jesus says, it's about helping others be great. And when it really comes to opposites, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So in Jesus' kingdom, it's all about opposites. And Jesus helps us understand that by bringing a kid onto his lap and saying, this is who it's all about. So let's pray. And I'm going to ask you to do the opposite thing of me. If I sit down, you stand up to pray. If I stand up to pray, you sit down to pray. Are you ready? Can you do it? Okay, I'm going to start sitting down. So what are you going to do? I'm sitting, you're standing. Okay. Dear God, we thank you for Jesus and that Jesus' kingdom is all about opposites. Help us remember that it's about building others up, not about making it all about us. Jesus, we thank you that you love kids and that you put kids on your lap, and that when we welcome you like we welcome kids, we are welcoming God. We love you. Amen.
Let us pray. O gracious God, whatever words may now be spoken, let the word we hear be from you. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Joseph Heller was an American novelist whose most famous book, as some of you know, was Catch 22. After he died, his friend Kurt Vonnegut wrote a poem about him, and here it is. True story, word of honor, Joseph Heller, an important and funny writer now dead, and I were at a party by a billionaire on Shelter Island. I said, Joe, how does it make you feel to know that our host only yesterday may have made more money than your novel, Catch 22, has earned in its entire history? And Joe said, I've got something he can never have. And I said, what on earth could that be, Joe? And Joe said, the knowledge that I've got enough. Not bad. Rest in peace. Isn't that wonderful? To say of a billionaire, I've got something he can never have, what on earth would that be, Joe? The knowledge that I've got enough. And part of what is right about that poem is that it ends with Vonnegut saying to his friend, rest in peace, because the man who knows he has enough is already at peace. The flip side is also true. People who can never get enough but always want more and more are without peace. Only restlessness, agitation, and often rancor. On that point, the letter of James could not be more adamant. Listen again. The conflicts and disputes among you, that's literally the wars and the battles among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and you don't have it, so you commit murder. You covet something, you can't have it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts, battles and wars. What a claim. That the root of the conflicts among us is our wanting, craving what we don't have. And surely, there's a little bit, at least, of exaggeration here. Surely to say you covet and so you murder is hyperbole, at least. And surely not all of our arguing and bitterness is rooted in somebody's greed. Still, look at the endless succession of wars in human history, so often claimed to be waged over competing ideologies, values, religion, principle, when mostly it was somebody wanting somebody else's land and resources, or to seize control of what they crave to control. And as for the ugly divisions and conflicts within our own country now, do you think we would have arrived at where we are apart from people wanting what wasn't theirs and taking it or trying to? The whole engine of our culture seems to work by the agitation of desire. Take all you can or steal it. From the start, steal the land and the lives of native people, and steal the bodies and the lives of African people to enslave them and men taking the bodies and the dignity and the rights of women by force and still doing it. And the rich get more and more, though apparently never enough, and so greed keeps rigging the system, and society at large is churning with appetite and envy and resentment and short-term self-interest. We have a culture filled with wonderful people, yet still a culture of me and mine and us and ours. Do you think we'd have gotten to the political, social crisis we're in? That we'd be in the culture of so much physical, relational, ideological violence had we not been a people so inflamed with wanting what we cannot, must not have? And there it was all along, these brief, little, incisive words written to a small church 20 centuries ago, like a time capsule with our name on it. The conflicts and disputes among you, they come from your cravings that are at war within you. You covet something and can't have it, so you engage in your battles and your wars. Couldn't be possible of me, could it? Are my conflicts rooted in envy and craving, really? Are yours? Doesn't sound like us, does it? Doesn't sound at all like me. But maybe we should start at the other end of it and ask, is there conflict in my life, in yours? Are we out of sorts, put out with others, critical, impatient, irked, judgmental? If the answer is yes, and it is, this text invites us to ask, then, could envy, craving, agitated wanting lie behind any of that? Most of that? And often enough, the deep answer turns out to be yes. And for some, it is bound to be in part about possessions. We see what others have that we don't, and it gnaws at us. Wish we had more money, wish our future was more secure, wish we didn't have to worry about paying what has to be paid, wish we had nicer things. I want that. I want that, and man, do I want that. That is a jagged and frustrated heart, ill at ease, and such a heart may be unable to engage the world and each other fully and freely with self-giving love. But of course, it's not just craving material possessions that's poison. You don't have to crave money or things to be possessed of destructive envy and wanting. Maybe what we've got is a craving for other people's approval, a desire to impress, a need to be in charge, a lust for admiration and praise, the feeling of fulfillment and a sense of being successful. You'd think there'd be no harm in that. The problem is that there will never ever be enough of it, and the wound of your own unsatisfied need will always be restless. for we never live in the knowledge that we have enough. The problem with your wanting, says James, is that you want what you can't have. But my list of frustrated wants is a good deal longer than money and things and physical pleasures and success and status and fulfillment and the approval of others. In the end, in the dark, there are other cravings, desperate. My fearful heart says I want certainty of outcomes. And I hear the answer. No, I want assurances and guarantees. No, I want no pain, no terror, no loneliness, no grief. Sorry, I want control. Never. I want peace of mind. No, though you may have the peace of Christ, which isn't always equal to peace of mind. You've wanted the wrong thing, says James, and you don't have what you really need because you have not yet really ask. And with that, he lays his finger on the very heart of the human situation. We are born with our hearts desiring, and we are given to the skewing of that desire for the wrong things, the things that belong to other people, or the things that we can have but will never satisfy, or the wanting of things that aren't even real. The madness of so much frustrated desire leaves us jagged, agitated, grasping, not at rest enough to be at peace with ourselves or with each other, certainly with God. And so the question, the final question, simple question becomes, then what should I want? Beneath all legitimate desires, and beneath all phony, destructive, deluded desires, what with all my heart should I want and ask for? Among the many true and worthy answers to that question, answers that will pertain to love, to trust, to faithfulness, to God. The answer I make for myself today is this. I want my eyes opened to the truth of the blessings of God's love on my life and on the life of the world. And I want to live a thankful life. Twice in today's text, James refers to our problem as envy. I had forgotten until this week that our word envy comes from the Latin invidia. In meaning no, vidia meaning to see. Envy is not seeing. I am envious, I desire falsely because I am not seeing the truth about my life, not seeing how drenched I am in blessing, how surrounded and uplifted by the treasures upon treasures of love, how much I've been forgiven, how much joy and beauty and kindness and high purpose and tender mercy is laid upon my world. our world. To see this is to be swept into gratefulness. And gratefulness makes what we have enough. More than enough. Thankfulness also makes us more kind and forgiving and generous with each other. Fred Craddock said, "I have never known a person grateful who was at the same time small or mean or bitter or greedy, selfish, or took any pleasure in anybody else's pain. Never." That is what ends the war that comes from our wanting. The opening of our eyes to the truth of God's gift and saying yes. What a waste of the truth and of life to do otherwise. Hear these words from pastor, theologian Stephen Shoemaker. "There are many sad things in this world, and here are some of the saddest. To try to buy what can only be given. To try to earn what is yours already. To search the world over for a treasure buried in your own backyard. To live forever trying to earn God's love and never discover that it is a gift as free as the rain that falls from the sky. It's all there. Already there, here. The blessing, the superabundance of love and grace, all already here. And the task you and I have of bringing peace to each other and helping to bring peace to the world begins in the knowledge that we have more than enough." Rich as we are in blessing and grace, let us then make offering free and glad as our worship to God and as our testament to God's best gifts.
Oh!
infinitely generous God, lavish in love, extravagant in blessing, boundless in mercy for us all. Lift our hearts always to be open to know it and to give every gift we can in answer to you. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, children of God, we are blessed beyond all imagining with every possible gift of God's love. Let us extend a portion at least to one another now. May the peace of Christ be with you.